July 14th, you can enjoy $1,000 to $5,000 discounts or rebates that will apply to all 2018 motorhomes, travel trailers, and fifth wheels. Firely offers the highest quality for the lowest price. Firely, just 15 minutes west of I-270 on I-44 in Eureka.
The thought of divorce can be overwhelming, especially if you try to navigate the process alone. I'm Tanya Page, co-founder of Page Law. I have over 15 years' experience handling high net worth divorce, complex custody, and other family law matters. At Page Law, we understand divorce can be an emotional roller coaster, which is why all of our attorneys give each and every client their personal cell phone number. We are available for you 24/7.
Call Page Law at 314-PAGE-LAW or visit pagelaw.com to schedule your free, discreet consultation. Don't wait. Call now before your spouse does. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely on advertising.
Oh, hey, this is Tom from Salt and Smoke. Is Pauly Shore ever eaten at your restaurant?
No.
Oh, God, no. No.
Oh, okay, well, has he ever eaten at your restaurant twice?
Excuse me.
It's so embarrassing. Salt and Smoke. Now, featuring the Hamptons.
Hey, it's Denise from the Appliance Discounters here to tell you that our friends at Speed Queen have done it again. They are now offering an impeccable wash and dependability without a transmission. These heavy-duty washers are driven by a full horsepower motor and tested to last up to 25 years in your home. Speed Queen is so confident with their washers that their warranties have been extended to 5 to 7 years, parts and labor. This coverage is worth $400 and it's free. New and improved Speed Queen laundry at the lowest price at any of our 6 showrooms or online at theappliancediscounters.com.
Blue Chip was started by Scott and Pat Phillips with little more than a Volkswagen Beetle, a little bit of luck, and a whole lot of work. Since then, Blue Chip has grown into one of the nation's largest and most recognized pest control firms while still being a hometown St. Louis company. Now moving into our third generation, Blue Chip is just as focused with a commitment to training and professionalism that are unmatched in our industry. We are experts at what we do, which simply put is protecting your home, your business, and your family. Go to stlbugs.com to learn more.
See the USA in your Chevrolet. America's asking you to call. Drive your Chevrolet through the USA. America's the greatest land of all.
Before we talk to Dr. Doug Pernikoff, we're going to talk to this guy. He has recently,
No, we're not.
I saw his name on this.
I know, so fine. Then I think he got disconnected.
Well, by the time I do this introduction, we'll have him back.
I should have just shut up.
He was recently named the number one Chevrolet dealer in, and listen to this, because this is big, the number one Chevrolet dealer in the United States of America. Yeah. He was named that by me. But he was still named that. So it's still true. See, I'm trying to teach you an advertising marketing lesson here. When you hear a commercial and they go, recently described, recently named or recently called or considered the number one, considered by whom? By the people that wrote the commercial. But I do believe he may very well be the best Chevy dealer in the United States. He's certainly probably the best Chevy dealer in the St. Louis area. I'm stretching, waiting for the screen in front of me to say that he's on the phone.
Maybe he's tied up in that traffic accident that the caller in the 3 o'clock hour called about, because I just got a news update on that. There's been a train accident out there.
Oh, maybe he was on the train.
Maybe he was on the train.
Well, I don't think so.
Train car overturned, and they got both lanes blocked out there.
I believe we've made contact. We have him on the phone. Ladies and gentlemen, in my opinion, number one Chevrolet dealer in the United States. Here he is. He's with us now. John Landoff. Hello, John.
Oh,
it's an interesting day. I'm not having a good day, but it's better now that I'm here. Sometimes when I get in here and it's 3 o'clock and I sit down and I start talking, everything's okay. And the other thing that helps me
is us.
No,
being with us.
No, not you. Is music. If I play on the way here, my music that I have in the whatever it's called, music library of my phone, if I play my favorite music on the way in and play it loud, it changes my mood. And sometimes I'll do it in the morning because I always wake up in a bad mood. And if I'll go in while I'm shaving, I'll play some music that I really like. It changes everything. Music is very powerful. Whatever music you like, it's very powerful. So I'm in a much better mood because of two things. I played my music on the way in, and I went next door before the show and had a whiskey sour, and then Larry Connors brings me in another whiskey sour, so I'm fine.
Wow.
He's feeling pretty good.
I'm fine.
That's what it takes, huh?
Well, it doesn't, I'm not a drinker. I've never.
You're not. We've not been a drinker. I've been around you. You hardly ever drink.
We've been here 8 months. I've never had a drink next door before this show. But today,
well, what's great is you watched me drink red wine.
And then you buy,
which is, I mean, that is just a deal. That makes me happy.
It's painful.
Tell you what,
it's painful.
On my face.
But I'm happy to do it. And
you know what? Thank you.
8 months we've been here. I never had a drink next door before the show, and they have plenty of drinks next door. But today was such a horrible morning. I thought I'm having a whiskey sour.
I thought you were going to say that once you started talking to me, that just made that just makes you feel better.
Well. By the time I finish talking to you, I'm sure it'll make a difference. But we have, we've only just begun, as the Carpenters said.
Yes, 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 quite the song. But hot, it's hot.
It is.
You know, and the deals are hot at Long Duff Chevrolet, and I'm sure that in that wonderful broadcast studio, which is probably very nice and cool right now. But
can I tell you something, John? It's actually freezing in here, and I am not complaining about
it's
it. It is really cold in here.
No, it's like, you know, don't complain about it. You know, a place that's air-conditioned. You're not going, oof, it's too cold. No, it's not.
Nope.
Never too cold. Not when you can step outside. If you're too cold, just step outside, wait 5 seconds, 10 seconds, and go, yeah, I'm going back in. I'm going to go back inside and freeze because... it's hot, but that's okay. You know,
well, I have to make a decision today. There's a joke every year, and I only tell it once a year, and I tell it when I think it's about as hot as it's going to be in St. Louis. I think it's still going to be hotter. We're not there yet.
Well, they're saying this weekend could get into the triple digits.
Now, that's what I heard. We could hit 100 this weekend.
Yeah.
So,
no way.
Maybe Thursday.
June. That's crazy.
Yeah, maybe tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow I'll tell the joke, the hot weather joke.
Well, you know what? I think you should start telling two jokes.
I disagree. I disagree, and I'll tell you why. I think they're only about 100.
How many jokes do you think that you have in your memory bank?
I think about 150. And I think if you start telling two a day, you end up recycling them too soon. You tell a joke every 6 months. I don't want to do that.
Yeah. Well, you know, you get it down to an art. You really do. You're like an artiste. That's what you are. Mm. A comedic artist.
Right. I hope so, because if I haven't gotten it down by now, it's not going to happen. I've been doing this for a while.
Hey, John.
Hey, Dan.
Did you hear about the the guy?
All the times we made fun of Lon Dolph's voice on this show, and he finally got his comeuppance and made fun of Dan.
You know, the sad
never really makes fun of me too much. Yes, you do.
You know, the sad thing is, though, Dan,
you join in. You make fun of me. It's okay.
But here's the sad thing. Dan Strauss has the best voice of anybody in this room. He does. And it kills me. It just kills me that he is blessed with the best, richest, deepest voice of any of us.
Well, thanks, Fred.
Maybe I should go out back. I should go out back and smoke with him and with Limey and suck on a couple of cancer sticks.
Do a day, you know? That'll change your voice. I don't think you want to do that, though.
No, but you're
Dan, what did you want to say, Dan?
Jay, it's either Cahill or Cahill. I don't know which, but...
I think it's Cahill.
Cahill, okay.
Uh-huh.
I helped sell some trucks today.
Are you having a bowel movement?
Yeah, I am. I helped sell some trucks today. Michelle, my friend that works there, she had called me and said that Jay is very AM and the PM, and they were talking and said that I performed their wedding ceremony and married John and her together one day many years ago.
Yeah.
And he said that he would like to meet me. So I was... actually in my car going to drive out there today this morning, but I had a doctor's appointment, and we decided since he's going to have delivery maybe next week of his
truck, God, are you still talking?
Yes, I am. that that I'm going to drive out next week and meet him. But we FaceTimed today while he was there. Yeah.
Well, thanks to Jay. I hope you're listening, and thank you very much. We really appreciate the business. And Dan, hey, thanks for the quick description of that sale.
Yeah, okay. Boy, that didn't take long.
Good thing that we made the transaction a little faster than the conversation we just had.
No kidding.
I think he's buying several trucks because his foundation starts July 1st. It's American Farmers Who Care.
That's awesome.
Hey, yeah. John, in a case awesome. Like that, will somebody like Michelle, will she get the commission on all the trucks he buys if she's the salesperson?
No, she's not. She was a receptionist that we were looking for, a receptionist, Dan, a couple years ago?
Yeah.
And posted it on Facebook, and Dan sent me a text, and he's like, I've got a friend, Michelle Young. I'm like, perfect. And so then now she's been promoted to our business development center, and she's doing a great job.
So if a salesperson deals with a fleet sale,
so if Michelle's bringing all these customers in, she will be taking.
Okay, but if a sales
with a referral fee.
Okay, let's take another salesperson. The salesperson deals with somebody who wants to buy a fleet of vehicles. Do they get the commission on the fleet? I guess they do.
Yeah, I mean we do have some companies that come in and buy 3 vehicles at a time. 5.
Right, you want to know the happiest salesperson in the history?
You know, I was talking just then. I mean, I don't know. You just don't care. I mean, I might as well just answer a question like yes, yes, no, maybe so.
You're not capable Next of question. That. You're not capable Next of question. That. That's why I have to cut you off. You just keep going. If I don't cut you off, you keep going.
No, you know, I didn't even. I was hardly even in midstream. Bam! Just cut me right off.
I got a great car sales story for you, and it's about the happiest car salesman in the history of car sales.
Carl salesman.
Yeah, and it took place. It took place in Memphis, Tennessee, and it was a Lincoln Continental, a Ford dealer. They sold Lincoln Continental. It was Lincoln Mercury dealer. There's no Mercury anymore. But this, I'll never forget this. It was on the front page of the Memphis Press Seminar, because I used to deliver the Memphis Press Seminar when I was a kid.
Wow.
And the story was, happiest car salesman ever, and they interviewed the guy who sold Elvis Presley 5 Lincoln Continentals in one day. Elvis walked into the dealership, and of course, when Elvis walked in, you knew who it was, Elvis Presley.
Well, sure.
And they said, this guy says, can I help you, Mr. Presley? And he said, Lincoln Continental got on the floor. He says, you're going to get 5 of those. And he said, yes, sir. I'll take them. And he wrote a check for $60,000. They were 12 grand apiece. You see, he writes a check for $60,000. So the guy has an actual check from Elvis Presley. That in itself is a big deal. Yeah, 60 grand because they were 12 grand apiece.
Wow. Back then, nobody came in and bought 5 vehicles.
No. Well, first of all, John, very few people paid 12 grand for a car. I mean, that was unbelievable. Yeah. And he says, I'll take them all. And they didn't say, I'm sure they didn't say, well, we have to make sure your check will clear, Mr. Presley. And I'll never forget reading that article. I felt so good for that guy, because you could tell this guy was on top of the world. He sold 5 Lincoln Continentals to one guy. And that one guy was Elvis Presley. And I still remember looking at that article thinking...
Can we see some ID, sir?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think Elvis needed any ID.
Yeah, before we deliver these vehicles to you, Elvis, would you mind doing a performance here on the showroom floor for, like, all the employees for 30 minutes? You know, just get your guitar and come in here and, you know.
There's a documentary, and it's called A Very Generous Man. It's either A Generous Man or A Very Generous Man. And from the title... You wouldn't know what it's about. It's about Elvis Presley. And I watched this documentary, and they interviewed all these people about the generosity of Elvis Presley. And one of the things they talk about is he loved to go into car dealerships. But he was a Cadillac Lincoln guy, which doesn't, you know, obviously do you any good as a Chevy guy, but he loved Lincolns and Cadillacs. And they tell the story in there where there was a black lady who was in a car dealership. And she was looking at, you know, the used car lot. And I guess she had a bunch of kids. I don't know. For whatever reason, Elvis just wanted to change her life. And he said, Mom, I think you'd be good in a new Cadillac. I think you look good in a new Cadillac. And, of course, she said, I can't afford it. He said, you don't have to afford it. I'll take care of it. And he just right then buys her a brand new Cadillac.
Wow.
And they said they have documents. They can only prove that he gave away about 200 new Cadillacs and Lincolns.
No way.
They know he gave more, but they can document that he gave 200 Cadillacs and Lincolns away. Just gave them to people. That's a great story, I think.
That is a great story.
We need to find somebody out there. We need to find somebody out there listening right now who wants to be the equivalent of Elvis, only with Chevys.
I need a new Equinox.
And you need to go into Landoff and go, I'd like to buy about like a 10 Silverados and 5 Equinoxes, please. But buy them all at Landoff. Just buy them all from Johnny Landoff, but be the Chevy equivalent of Elvis Presley. That's what I'm hoping.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. You know, Frank, you just come up with some great ideas.
I think so.
You're unbelievable.
Thank you.
And I just want to tell you that I think I'm going to go out here and talk to a customer.
Good.
Because, you know, I'm kind of done talking to you. It's been fun.
I'm kind of done talking to you.
Kind of done.
That does not hurt my feelings. If it was meant to,
I'm kind of done listening, but I still love you.
Doesn't hurt my feelings. I'm 1.5 whiskey sours in, so you're probably smart to go.
Well, listen. Have a great rest of the show, and aim of the PM listeners, unbelievable deals. Give us a call 314-837-1800 314-837-1800 24/7 365 at Landoff.com.
All right, thank you, John.
Thanks, Frank.
All right, John Landoff, everybody.
Yeah, that's okay. You can applaud it.
I guess we hit the Dr. Doug music. All right, I'm going to give you the numbers, and you need to call right now. I am asking you to help me get through this show today. I had one of those mornings that you all have had, just frustration, hanging on the phone, voice prompts, morons on the other end, somebody out of the United States in another country who I can't even understand. Do the rest of the hour for me. And you can do that by calling in and talking to Dr. Doug. If you have a pet, here are the numbers. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-TALK, which is 855-282-8255. And that will get you on with Dr. Doug Pernikoff, who's brought to you by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States. Find out everything you need to know at windowworldstlouis.com. Would you please say hello to Dr. Douglas Pernikoff?
Hey, hey, hey! How is everyone today?
Terrific, Dr. Doug. How are you?
I am A-L-L-E-N.
I'd like to mention that before you do your little speech, that was it Sunday night I saw you or Saturday night? It was Sunday night.
I think it was Sunday night.
Yeah, Sunday night, my wife and I are eating with another couple that we don't get to see often enough. We get to see them once or twice a year. And my wife said, oh, my goodness, look who is at the table right next to us. It was Dr. Doug. And there you were by yourself, all by yourself.
I was doing some work, and I just needed to take a break and eat, which is one of my favorite hobbies, by the way.
Mine, too. It was nice to see you.
Yeah, it was nice to see you.
Before we take calls, what would you like to talk about?
Well, I had an itch under my arm. No, I think a good topic right now is mosquitoes and heartworm disease, real quickly.
Okay.
And we've talked a little bit in the past about some preventatives, but the disease itself, people need to be really conscious about getting to their vet, especially this time of year, and getting their exam. They do a blood exam, and they will try and find out whether your animal has any heartworm disease by the test. Now, heartworms are truly a bad disease. Sometimes it takes years for them to impact our dogs. And even cats, 5 to 20% of the cat population are now starting to show heartworm disease. And it's found now in over 50 states in the United States, so it's just about everywhere. Some places it's going to be worse. Wherever there's a lot of water, warm water, like we have the confluence of many rivers here in the area, so we have a lot of opportunity for our dogs to get exposed to a mosquito that's carrying the baby heartworm. They take a bite, they transfer it, if they're biting and they can suck up an infected dog's blood and give it to another dog when they bite somebody else, or they can just pick it up and transfer it right over. It takes about 6 to 7 months from that little baby larva to grow up into an adult worm, and then it finds its home inside the right side of the heart and the vessels that are going up to the lungs. So over time, it can cause very, very, very ill dogs and cats and can even cause death. And what happens is it causes all kinds of irritation to the lining of the blood vessels. It causes problems with circulation from the lungs. And the lungs, of course, aerate the blood, right? They put oxygen on the blood that goes around to our body. And if we don't have good transfer of oxygen to the cells in that area because of the presence of heartworms, then our animals can act very sick and weak. And then another point that's interesting is that you can have 100 adult worms in your right side of your heart. You don't know if it's a one heart, one or two or three worm infection, or if it's actually hundreds. So after we start medicating, the treatment is so hard, but the prevention is so easy. And I mean hard both in cost and in treating the complicated disease and protecting your animal through the treatment process. Because when you kill those worms, obviously the body has to clean them up. And that takes time, and it's also very difficult for the body to do that work. So, again, the bottom line is get to your vet, let them check out, make sure your dog is clear or your cat, and for your dogs in particular, get them on a preventative and try and prevent this issue from coming up in your home. Okay?
I've said before, the idea of worms being inside of somebody or an animal is disgusting to me.
I told you the story about my friend who was with he's a wildlife conservation guy, and he would come back to St. Louis and visit and stay with us. And when my kids were little, he would show them. You could see certain worms migrating under his skin.
That is disgusting.
And then he told me at dusk and dawn, he would feel the microfilaria, the baby worms, circulating in his hands, coming to the periphery, because they're designed evolutionarily to be ready for the mosquito or whatever the tick is or whatever the parasite is to pick them up in a blood meal at dusk and dawn when those critters are available.
Oh, the guy could feel worms inside of him?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Why didn't he get rid of them?
Well, it's kind of hard when you're living in the jungle and, you know, it's like a constant thing. And I think he ended up kind of dealing with it and getting some resistance to the clinical part. But, for instance, he used to get malaria all the time, and that'll knock us out, could even kill us. But now he doesn't even take preventative. His body just kind of accommodates for it.
Wow. So.
There's a great tapeworm joke that I never tell. I may tell today. It's a disgusting joke, and it's a visual joke. You need to act it out, but I could actually get away with telling it. If we end early, maybe I'll tell it, and it is really disgusting. You want to take some calls?
I sure do.
All right, we're going to do that. There's a line open. Let me give the numbers. 314-821-0590. Dan, do you know the joke?
I think I do, but I'm...
About the apple and the pie?
Oh,
no, you might not know it.
I don't think I know
it. Or 855-282-TALK, which is 855-282-8255. We'll start with Jeff. Jeff, say hello to Dr. Doug.
Hello, Dr. Doug. Thank you for taking my call, AM and PM.
Thank you, Jeff.
How are you, Jeff? What can I do?
I have a question. I'm trying to figure out, and heartworms was something that was on my mind. My dog is an English Bull Terrier, and she has a nose the size of an entire zip code. I mean, she's got this huge nose. Uh-huh. And she goes outside, and she wants to sniff stuff, and she goes all over the place, and she's constantly snorting and whatever. And lately, she's picked up a kind of snorting, a kind of pig grunt sound. And is that just more of an allergy, or could that possibly be a heartworm infection?
No, that's not a heartworm infection. There's several possibilities. You could have some irritation or an irritant in there. So she could have snorted up a little twig or some kind of little material that's causing that and just teasing the tissue. There's also something called a reverse sneeze, which is what it sounds like you have. And that's when the soft palate, if you feel the roof of your mouth in the back, you can feel the soft portion of your mouth in that area. And in some dogs, that tissue is more pronounced and it kind of falls back into the back of the throat. And if it gets irritated or swollen a little bit or just aggravated by position, it can create that kind of, it's kind of like blocking the airway. So the animal snorts in an attempt to try and clear that way. So your veterinarian can probably take a listen or look at it or send them a picture on the smartphone, I mean a video on the smartphone, and tell you that that's what it is. It's not a major concern in certain breeds like the bully breeds. Some people will go in and actually dissect that down and cut it away so you don't have that recurring issue. Okay?
Thank you. Well, it was something that started this year. It hadn't been, you know, in previous years, so I was a little concerned.
Yeah, I thank you for your help. Heartworm, though, but I would definitely let him take a look at it.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, Jeff. Thank you. Dr. Doug, I hate to say this, but we don't have any more calls. And this happened. This has happened now three times where we had one or no calls. And I will talk to you this week. Sadly, I think we probably may have to discontinue this segment. And I'll tell you why. We can't do it if nobody's calling. And over the years, we've covered probably everything that can be covered about dogs. My dog is a big dog, and the hips dysplasia and blah, 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 blah. But when there are no calls, there's no segment. And
well,
I'll call
sure
you.
Hope that's not the case.
Well, now, see, when I say that, the phones all light up. But I can't sit here every week
waiting
for people to call. They have to understand that.
Well, can I say one thing?
Sure.
I love doing this show.
I know you
do. It continues. And I will tell you that before we moved over, we were always right at a certain time, 4:07 to 4:10. And right. I know now it's been a little more variable.
I don't think that makes anything to do with it.
You don't think so?
No, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
No,
okay.
It has nothing to do with it. I've been doing this for a long, long time. We're going to talk to Vicki. We will talk to her because she did call in. And Vicki, say hi to Dr. Doug.
Hi, Dr. Doug.
Hi, Vicki. How are you, honey?
Keep my man there, AM and the PM.
Well, we'd love to, but we can't do it if people don't call until I say you didn't call. We're over. It's over. Then they call. It doesn't work that way. Vicki, what do you have for Dr. Doug?
Well, I've called before. I got a rescue that I think is now a Chihuahua. I'm not real sure, but he's got fluffy ears too. But his eyes want to weep. You know how some of them get like what I call eye burgers. You know, in the corners of their eyes. Well, his sort of go down in a V shape towards his nose, and it's every day, you know, this liquid, and I wash it off, and it comes back every day. Don't know what it is.
Well, a couple of things that might be going on. You can have inflammation of those tear ducts, or you can have a partial blockage, which would cause it to pool, and then, you know, and then all of a sudden you have that kind of scenario, and you could. Might also have your veterinarian look just to make sure that's not the case, or possibly that you have like a pink eye situation. And this time of year, you could have allergic kind of conjunctivitis, we would call that. And he can rule that out with a good exam and find out if you do need to work on the tear ducts. He can tell you how that can be done as well. They usually will sedate the dog, and they have little devices where they can actually flush those out. So those would be my first two suggestions. And the best thing to do is get a good exam. Okay?
Okay, I will do that.
Thank you, honey.
I hope more people call. Please. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Vicki. And then, Doc, it has nothing to do with the time.
You don't think so? That's
no, right. Last week, for you whatever reason, we had more calls last week than we've ever had. And we had calls we couldn't even get to. But when 2 out of 3 weeks, they don't call till I say... We're wrapping up. People have to understand, we can't just sit here going, da, 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 da. Wait, let's talk to Pam. Pam, say hello to Dr. Doug.
Hi, Dr. Doug.
Hi, Pam. How are you, honey?
Just fine. I actually had a question, and I just wanted to get your take on this. I have a 5-year-old boxer bull mastiff mix who has kind of been diagnosed so far with what they're calling an idiopathic kidney. I can't pronounce the last word, but he has some blood periodically in his urine. And he was going to get scoped at ABS, and the scope broke about a month ago. So during his, they prepped him and everything. So he was, everything was done. So we're trying something now, and I'm going to try to pronounce it, but it's called Yunnan Biao. It's a Chinese supplemental herb.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, if you want to send it...
I just wanted to get your opinion on it.
Yeah, I don't know that product because I can't even... I'm having trouble understanding what it is, but if it is something like a nutraceutical that might be useful, it's probably going to be harmless. Whether it's going to be helpful or not, I don't know. And there are two other... AVS is wonderful, but there's two other specialty clinics that might be able to offer that same scoping if they can't get it done. So you might want to explore those options with your vet. But again, without knowing the history and all the diagnostics that have been done, it's kind of hard for me to respond to it. But idiopathic.
Yeah, pretty much everything's been done. I mean, he's gone through everything, and everything is normal, so they can't figure out why there's bleeding. Uh-huh. So I was just concerned on just questioning on whether or not you knew what the herb was.
I don't. But let me ask you: is it a male dog or a female?
No, he's a male,
and he
was. Yes, he has been neutered since he's been about 5 months.
Okay, in humans, they have a syndrome where the prostate, now it shouldn't be real stimulated in a neutered dog, but you might have your vet review the prostate size because sometimes a prostate can kind of hang over the brim of the pelvis, and with certain activity, you can get intermittent bleeding in the dog. Yeah.
Unfortunately, but fortunately, they check that too, so we're kind of at a point to where they're like, they can't really tell unless they scope, and the only vet that apparently had the scope small enough for them to be able to do it without a big surgery was there, and they just got it, and he was like the third dog, and it broke when they were in the middle of doing it.
They need to get in there and look one way or the other because there could be a little papilla or something left over that was a remnant of the tube that connected the mom to the umbilical cord, and sometimes that can cause a little irritation by being present. So yeah, I think it sounds like you're on the right path. It's just a difficult one, not your everyday kind of situation.
Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pam. Louie is next. Louie, say hi to Dr. Doug.
Hi, Dr. Doug. How are you?
Good, Louie. How are you?
Good. Hey, I have a smaller dog. He's about 12 pounds. He's about 6 years old, and we've had the same problem pretty much ever since he's been alive. He vomits a lot. And where the big problem comes in, he vomits a lot of times once he's fallen down to go to sleep, and then he aspirates, and then you're at the vet in the middle of the night, and so on and so forth. So we've talked to the vet multiple times about it, and they've said something along the lines of megaesophagus, and we've changed his food and his eating habits, and now he eats from an elevated bowl, and he takes an antacid and this and that. And if he stays in the same pattern, it seems to be better, but it's never gone away. He's vomited as recently as last night, and it's just a crapshoot whether or not he's going to aspirate.
Did he ever do X-rays or throw a little barium down? Because you can actually see the megaesophagus. And that's a situation where nerves that are innervating our esophagus are either absent or stretched out and non-effective. And it's usually a genetic-based disease. We see it a lot often in puppies and then sometimes a little bit older. And the problem, like you said, is it's management tools, but there's no real good surgery, I don't believe, that's developed for it. But there are other things they might consider doing. You might talk to them about a product called Reglan, which relaxes the sphincters, the little muscular rings at the beginning of the stomach and at the bottom of the stomach. And sometimes that'll help things move through, and then you gruelify your food and all the other things you've been talking about. But it sounds to me like you might have a little more diagnostic available if they're willing to do it. Okay.
Regulin. Okay, thank you.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you, Louie. It's amazing to me. Every time I threaten to pull the plug on this, all the lines light up. Where are you people earlier?
What that's saying is that they really want me.
No, you know what it's saying is they wait because they think if they wait, somehow they'll get in. If they wait too long, they're not going to get in at all because we're going to kill it. The other thing I believe is that people don't pay attention to the numbers, and then the phone numbers, and then they want to call, but they don't know the number. So they wait, they scramble around, they look it up or whatever. But we have people now all over the place. Let's start with, we'll pick it up at least with Don. Don, say hello to Dr. Doug.
Yes, hi, Dr. Doug. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have an adopted little Shih Tzu who, when she was turned into the center, they discovered she had dry eye, perhaps for some time. Mm-hmm. And I've been treating her eyes 2 and 3 times a day for the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but she's gradually losing her vision. She still does okay, but not for long, I'm afraid. I'm putting in tacrolimus AQ in her eyes twice a day. And is there any kind of a future surgery or something that could correct this condition?
Right, now before you speak, Dr. Don, why do you call it a sheet zoo? Is it because you don't want to say shit zoo? Is that the reason?
Yeah, that's probably the main reason.
I like Shih Tzu because I had one of these dogs, and I hated that dog. And these dogs all seem to go blind, don't they, Doctor?
Well, they are certainly more predisposed in the sense that they can have conditions like he's describing, but they also have kind of a little more prominent eye. So it's sticking out. It has a better chance to dry, and especially if their tear production isn't good like you're describing. But this is something we are fortunate in St. Louis. We have two groups of veterinary ophthalmologists, one in Kirkwood area and one down in the valley. And, they would be the best to consult. Your vet should refer you to them, and they would be able to, they have instruments that we don't have in general.
Doc, did you say one was down in the valley?
Yeah. Valley so low, hang your head over, hear the wind blow.
Go ahead, Don.
Oh, my God. Wow, I get entertained, too.
Yeah, you do.
And that was without alcohol, right?
Yeah.
How about
that? Oh, my God. So I would visit one of those people. Again, you usually have to be referred through your veterinarian, but they're going to be able to look at different parts of the eye with special instruments and tell you what else might be going on, or if there's some corrective surgery that might help with the tear production. So I would not give up, but I would take a look. Okay?
Okay. Well, thank you for the information, Doctor. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you, Don. Thank you for listening. And, of course, Don can always have that dog put to sleep. Jessica is next. Jessica, say hello to Dr. Doug.
Hi, Dr. Doug.
Hi, Jessica. How can I help you?
I am wondering if there are any medications or anything you can give dogs to help with motion sickness in the car.
Oh, yeah. So a lot of people, there is a dose for Dramamine. I don't have it right here, but I could look it up, and so can anyone else, any of the other vets. And you could also use Benadryl sometimes, very good. And those are probably the two most common. The other things to do are obviously control any feeding about an hour or two before you travel. And and then don't let them drink too much. And
how do you know a dog has motion sickness? Does Jessica, does the dog throw up?
Well, he does throw up, but he begins by drooling a lot. And he'll just drool everywhere in the car. And then eventually, after about 10 minutes of that, if we haven't stopped, he'll throw up.
There's also you might talk to your vet about if it's just an intermittent travel. There are some anti-nausea medications that might be useful in that situation. And the other thing I always tell people is one thing you might be able to do is start a process where first you sit in the car, you turn on the air condition, you read the or listen to music and have your dog there, you don't move. And you do that for maybe 10, 15 minutes. And then you go, and you do this continuously, and then you gradually start to, okay, we're going to go for a ride down the street. We come back. And again, just get them familiar and make it fun so that when you're going someplace, it's a good place. And maybe you go to a playground or something where he can get out, and he's enjoying it. And I think if you do that, in a lot of cases, you can get him conditioned to being in the car and not having that nausea. Cats are worse than dogs, actually, and they hypersalivate.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. But again, some kind of anti-nausea, there's a drug called Serenia
that might be useful. That's it, Serenia. That's what I was going to say.
And there's some other ones that you can use. And I would talk to your veterinarian. They might come up with something useful.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Jessica. We're out of time. We're out of calls. Doctor, thank you so much. If you're on again next week, you'll be brought to everyone again.
Okay.
By Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States. WindowWorldSt.Louis.com for more. Dr. Doug Pernikoff, everybody. Thank you, doctor.
Okay, tell your wife we're going to go to dinner together.
You and she are going to dinner?
No, the four of us.
Why don't you just take her to dinner? I'll have a night off. All right, thanks,
can I get
doctor.
Your credit card?
Right. Yeah, you can, sure you can. You get her out of there for a night. You can have my credit card. Dr. Doug Pernikoff. Hey, Bill's in the next room. Bill, I know you can hear me. Can you want to do the playhouse? You want to go in the playhouse? Can you do that?
He said yes.
This way I can tell my tapeworm joke. It's a disgusting joke. For anybody who doesn't know, a tapeworm is a real thing. Did you know this, Limey?
I did know.
It lives inside of a person and mm-hmm. eats food. It eats up stuff. And that's why if somebody's really skinny, they go, well, he must. Or when a kid eats it, when I was a kid, if a kid would eat a lot.
Got a tapeworm?
He had seven hamburgers. Yeah. He must have a tapeworm.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So here's the tapeworm. Now, folks, when I do this, when you hear me do that, you need to visualize a doctor smashing the head of a tapeworm. Okay, it's a visual joke, but you need to know that. So this is smashing the head of a tapeworm. Guy goes to the doctor. This is so bad. He goes to the doctor, and he goes, Doc, I eat all the time. Don't gain any weight. Eat everything in sight. The doctor runs some tests. He goes, you have a tapeworm. And he says, I think I've heard of that, Doc. That's actually a worm. He said, yes, it's a long worm. It's living inside you, and it's eating. We need to kill it. And the patient says, well, somebody said that you are the foremost authority on tapeworms, and you're the guy to go. He says, I am. I absolutely am. And we're going to get him. We're going to get that tapeworm. He said, I want you to come back tomorrow, 3 o'clock, and I want you to bring an apple and a pie, a whole apple and a pie. The guy says, okay. He goes back the next day, and the receptionist takes him in the room, says, the doctor will be right in. Would you please remove your pants? Okay. Doctor comes in and says, well, I see you brought an apple and a pie. He goes, well, you told me to. He goes, okay, bend over. And the doctor shoves the entire pie up this guy's butt and then counts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He takes the apple and shoves it up there. He goes, okay, pull your pants up and come back tomorrow. 3 o'clock, bring another apple and another pie. And the guy says, Doc, this is weird. He goes, just, you want to kill the tapeworm or not? He says, well, yeah. He said, then come back tomorrow with an apple and a pie. The next day at 3 o'clock, the patient comes in again. The nurse takes him back. She says, go ahead, remove your pants. The guy's thinking, oh, man, I know what's coming. I know what's coming. The doctor walks in and says, oh, you're a good patient. I see you brought another apple and a pie. Bend over. Shoves the whole pie again up this guy's butt. It hurts. And the doc says, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Give me that apple. Shoves the apple up there. All right, pull your pants up. Come back tomorrow with another apple and a pie. Same thing. Next day, he brings an apple and a pie. Bend over. He shoves the apple up there. Then he waits, counts to 5, puts the apple in after the pie. He says, I want you to come back in tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Just bring a pie. Don't bring the apple. Just bring a pie. Guy says, okay. He doesn't like any of this. This is very weird to him. But he can't live with the thought of a tapeworm. So the next day he walks in. The nurse says, go back, take your pants off. The doctor comes in and says, bend over. He shoves the entire pie up the guy's butt and goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And the tapeworm sticks his head out of the guy's butt and goes, hey, where's my pie? Boom! That is a disgusting, ridiculous, juvenile joke. But funny.
It's like those snake charmers that bring those snakes up out of the basket. He's like a tapeworm charmer.
And you know, they say the flute with a snake charmer has nothing to do with it. The snakes can't hear. Did you know that?
No, they can't hear, but they focus on the actual flute being close to them, and that's
yeah.
They
but
feel.
It has nothing so to they, do with the music.
No.
They can just hold the flute up and move back and forth. You're right. Yeah. And the snake. And how? What is the matter with those people that sit in front of a cobra and with a flute?
Well, I mean, you know, it's like those people over here that like to shake rattlesnakes because they think it brings them closer to Jesus.
Oh, they're down in Kentucky and Tennessee. You bet I have. Folks, if you've never watched, if you want to see what some of this country is like, you need to pull up, just go into YouTube and just type in snake worshippers. That's all you have to do. You'll see some people you won't even believe. And you know that they don't worship the snakes. The snakes are to prove how faithful they are.
Right.
That if you have enough faith, the snake won't bite you. But if it does bite you, it won't kill you.
Right. Because
you have enough faith. And then when somebody dies, and they do, the rest of the church people just go, well, he didn't have enough faith. He wasn't a good Christian, and that's why the rattlesnake that bit him in the face killed him. The other thing to look up is, Rattlesnake Roundup. I think every August, and I think it's in Sweetwater, Texas.
I've seen
that. You ever seen this?
Yes.
I'm going to go to this. When I finally do retire, coming sooner maybe than I want, when I finally do, one of the things I want to do when I see this country is I'm going to drive down the street. Bill on the road. Bill should go. Honestly, goodness, Bill, if you would go to the Rattlesnake Roundup and put this on your site, billontheroad.com, you'd get 1 million viewers. It's a big event, and they do several things. They have a rattlesnake skinning contest, and these guys go out before the rattlesnake roundup, and they round up hundreds, thousands of rattlesnakes, and they bring them into the rattlesnake roundup, and they put them in a big pit, like an arena. And one of the competitions they have, all of these live rattlesnakes are there, and these guys with boots get in the arena, and it's a timed event. How many can you scoop up into a burlap bag?
No.
I'm with you.
No.
But I would go watch it.
You think Bill Cleveland would have 999,996 more viewers if you put a snake on his page?
I think if he went to the rattlesnake roundup, I'm not kidding.
I would watch it to see if one bit him on the nose.
There's a snake in my boot.
Now, on one hand, I don't want to go there because I am in the midst of a lot of rattlesnakes, but they're not going to get to me, hopefully. They do things like they've got a guy who'll get in the bathtub and they pour a bunch of rattlesnakes on him. He has to lie still.
No.
They do a... by the way, it's by weight. They weigh the bag of rattlesnakes, and the guy with the most weight wins the rattlesnake roundup. And then they skin them, and they have rattlesnake cooking and chili and different kind of cooking competitions. And they skin them, and they fry them up or whatever they do. Has anybody ever tasted rattlesnake in here?
No, I've never eaten snake.
No. You know you can buy it in some stores here
really?
In a can? No, you can. Yeah,
canned snake?
Canned rattlesnake meat.
Huh.
I've never bought it. I've never tried it.
I've drank vodka that had a...
You've drunk vodka.
Sorry, I drunk vodka.
No, not I drunk. I've drunk, or I... It's either I have drunk, which is the, or I correct. Drank vodka.
Okay. I have drunk vodka with a dead baby cobra in it. That was something.
Why?
Really?
Why not?
A dead baby cobra?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, why not?
Well, what kind of vodka was it? Cobra vodka?
Yeah, no, it was, I think, snake vodka or something. They sold it at a store called Selfridges in Birmingham.
Store? Oh, in Birmingham, England.
In Birmingham, West Midlands.
Mm. What do we have here? We have the worm. What's the worm?
That's tequila.
That's tequila.
Is it tequila?
Yeah.
What's the point of the worm?
I guess to authenticate the power of the tequila, because I think the worm's put in live. I'll have to look it up.
But yeah,
sure I don't think we need to be shown
proof of that. I would believe it if somebody said, you know, tequila could kill a worm. I believe you.
But I've seen hundreds of bottles of tequila, and I've never seen one with a worm in it.
Is it just
a specific brand, or is that just something they do in Mexico, or what?
No, they do it. They're around here, too, sometimes. But if you eat the worm, they say that's supposed to be the most... alcohol in that worm. People will eat the worm.
Well, it's like eating a honeycomb.
Yeah.
It's just saturated in honey. Mm-hmm. All right, we have to do some business so that Tim can do the news, then we can get into the Playhouse, and Bill can do his segment, and I can tell you a joke. It's a good joke, too. It's another visual joke, but I'll try to make it so you can visualize what's going on. First Community Credit Union, I was not in there today. I was in there 2 days before. I was in there, let's see, yesterday was Tuesday. I was in there Monday. Not today. Maybe I'll have to go back in there tomorrow. I go in just to say hello. I like the people there. And if you're a drive-through person or an internet person, you do it online or you get on the phone, doesn't matter. It's still a great place to bank. They sponsor the yard sale on Saturday morning, 7 to 9 o'clock. It's not the only yard sale on the air, but it's the best one. It's the better of the two. See, correct grammar would be better. If it's two things, one is the better, not the best. It's the better of the two, and the co-hosts are Dan Strauss and Scott Sherman, and it's sponsored exclusively by First Community Credit Union. Here's all that we ask. Anytime you're in First Community,